Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley. They bring you the betting insight, laughs, and some rants along the way.
People can kind of take any situation and kind of like turn it into content. They've got momentum. Oh, yes, they also haven't played in like 5 days. So like, yeah. What do you mean they've got momentum?
Like, they got momentum.
Tournament's ended on Saturday or Sunday. Right. First game's not till Thursday or Friday. What momentum? What are we talking about here?
We'll give you an edge to beat the spread and so much more.
This is what awards are. It's the perception of what's happening, not what's actually happening, right? One of my big rules is when the voters tell you who they're going to vote for, just believe them. Just go bet it. Don't be like, you're stupid. They're the ones voting. Whatever, they're having them all second. Who cares? They can have you second. I'd go bet you.
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet from BetQL.
You Better You Bet here on a Monday. PJ Glasser, Kate Constable in for Nick Kostos, and Ken Barkley making their way back from Las Vegas after the best four-day stretch we have on the sports calendar. Hope everybody enjoyed the first couple rounds of March Madness. Kate and I, we're going to get into all the Sweet 16 games coming up later this week. We're also going to recap what we saw in a bit. But Kate, we had some huge breaking news just dropped like 5 minutes ago. I'm sure people know by now. Rick Pitino is the new head coach at St. John's at MSG. I think it's awesome for college basketball. Ed Cooley as well is leaving Providence to go to Georgetown. So some huge news today in the Big East. Your thoughts to both of those hirings? Do you like both? Do you not like one or the other? What are your thoughts?
No, I think they're both great. I mean, to have Rick Pitino in the Big East back at another big-time conference, he's one of the best X's and O's basketball coaches we've ever seen. So to have him kind of back in a big prominent league for a big-time school, I think that's great. Good for the Big East, too, just to, you know, up the caliber of their coaches there. They're already pretty stacked. And, you know, to have three teams still in the Big Ten tournament, in the NCAA tournament, and to be adding more coaching depth to the conference, I think that's great. And then to keep Ed Cooley within the conference and move him over to Georgetown, that's another win too. I mean, sad for him to be leaving Providence and everything that he's built there, but another opportunity for him to start over, have a new program, and see where he can take that one. I think both of them are solid moves, both for the programs that are getting the new coaches, and for the programs that are losing. I mean, obviously Iona doesn't want to lose Rick Pitino, but I think Cooley at Providence, he was great there, but I think he's taken them as far as he can, and good to get some fresh blood coming in and seeing what they can do with the programs.
Do you think when Ed Cooley this upcoming season makes the return trip to Providence, he's going to get heavily booed, or do you think he's going to get a standing ovation and people are going to appreciate what he did? I'm kind of 50-50 on it. Like, I feel like they'll boo because they're mad at him for leaving, but I think they're also going to be appreciative of, like you said, what he did for the program and really, in a sense, kind of, you know, put them on the map. 7 NCAA appearances in 12 years.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he has a Sweet 16 run. He won 242 games. It's second in program history. And so I think that I would hope that they have enough respect for him that they would cheer for him and give him a round of applause and maybe do like one of those cool tribute videos. You know, when players in the NBA go back to their old teams, they should do something like that. Like, we're at the point where let's celebrate what the coaches have done for these programs if they're leaving, you know, on good terms. And it feels like he's leaving on good terms, walking away, making it his own decision. And so I think that's just fine. He's done a lot for the program. He's built up that program to a place that it hadn't been in quite some time. So I would hope that they give him a standing ovation, round of applause, cheer him on whenever he's back next year.
And then as for Rick Pitino and Iona, Kate, what do you think? Does he make the tournament in his first year as new coach with St. John's, or do you think that it might take him a couple of years like two or three, because we know eventually they're going to make the tournament. The question is just how long. Do you think he can get him back there in just 1 year?
I mean, if any coach can, Pitino probably has the best opportunity. I think it'll likely be in year two or three. I'd say year two that they get back there. I think he has to do a little bit of his own recruiting, you know, put his stamp on what he brings in from the transfer portal and make that team his own, because the roster that they had this year clearly wasn't good enough to make the tournament. And, you know, is one coach coming in, although he's a fantastic coach, is he really going to be able to turn that around so quickly? So I think if he's able to make some moves with the roster in terms of the transfer portal this year, possibly, but for sure, I would look for a year two.
All right, and then as we look at the bracket, Kate, obviously, as we move into some of these games that happened across the these last 4 days, what shocked you the most? Obviously, Fairleigh Dickinson probably is the answer to that question, but maybe there's another team that comes to mind. Like, what was the bet that you were most proud of that you made? Kind of recap your weekend for me.
Well, PJ, I can't say I'm too proud of the bets that I made this weekend, because it was awful. It was like everything I know about sports betting and how to bet these games and these teams all season just went completely out the window, because I was pretty bad this weekend, and I'll be the first to admit that. But we did get some wins on Michigan State. I think they look very impressive right now. Beating Marquette yesterday was huge. I had the under in that game, so that was a win. I've struggled figuring out this Gonzaga team. Their slow starts and not playing all that well in the first half has kind of not been great for some of my bets here. And as much as Fairleigh Dickinson was a massive surprise, I'm not going to sit here and say that I had them beating Purdue or even thought that they would cover in that game or anything. But when you kind of look at Purdue's path throughout the entire season, like, they've struggled with the guard play throughout the season. And that's been a point where people have had some concerns. And that was the issue here, is that their guards got pressured and saw some pretty solid pressure for the first time, maybe all season. I mean, getting trapped, getting pressed full court, things like that. And that flustered them, and they were totally taken out of everything that they wanted to do. So, I mean, hats off to Fairleigh Dickinson and what they were able to do. But definitely didn't have them beating Purdue, but that was looking back on it, you know, maybe I should have at least taken them to cover.
It's unbelievable. I'm with you. Did not have the best betting weekend, especially in the first round. It was not pretty. The second round, though, was much better. Michigan State, like you said, they were good to me. I had the Princeton upset over Mizzou, which was nice. I had Arkansas over Kansas. Ooh. So I was able to have a couple underdogs there in the second round. But Purdue, Kate, I can't believe it happened to them again. Like, the fact that they lost to St. Peter's the year before, when St. Peter's tallest player was 6'8", you would think they would learn from that. And Fairleigh Dickinson is the smallest team in college basketball. You have Zach Edey. I just don't understand how your offense doesn't run through Edey. Like, they were settling for way too many threes. All you have to do is dump the ball down low to Edey on every single possession, and one of three things are going to happen. He's either going to make it, he's going to get fouled, or he's going to miss and he's going to get his own rebound. One of those three things. Now, there were times where he did miss and Fairleigh Dickinson got the rebound, but you live with that. And then you go down on the next possession and you give the ball to him again. It blew my mind how they were settling for threes. They were not feeding Edey. And it's amazing. It's the biggest upset in the history of the tournament. I don't think it's even debatable. Purdue is 8 in KenPom. Fairleigh Dickinson is all the way down at 268th. The NEC, by all the metrics, is considered like the worst conference in college basketball. And they weren't even supposed to be in the tournament because Merrimack won the conference tournament but weren't eligible to get in. That's what allowed Fairleigh Dickinson to get in. So it's unbelievable. I can't believe Purdue lost that game. Do you think Matt Painter, like, is he on the hot seat at all, Kate? Like, do you think if he goes to the tournament next year and they lose to like another 13 or 14 seed, do you think they consider making a change, or is his resume just too strong in the regular season? He's built enough equity that, you know, with as fluky as the tournament can be sometimes, his job is safe.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to kind of put him on the hot seat if next year he comes back to the tournament and he loses again to a double-digit seed. And now, had he not won the Big Ten tournament this season, maybe the seat's a little bit hotter right now than it is. I don't think Purdue's trying to get rid of him or even thinking about it right now. But I do think his approach and in recruiting and who he's bringing in maybe needs to change a little bit, because the guard play for Purdue this season was not that strong. And I know they had some freshmen, so they're young, but that was a major issue. And he kind of didn't set the team up for success with the players that he was recruiting and bringing in this season. But I will give him credit. I mean, I don't know if you saw that clip that was on Twitter of him in the post-game press conference. He sat there and he answered every question. And he said, you know, did you have something you wanted to ask? Is everyone good? Anyone else have anything? You know, and so he was very professional. And that's what you want as the head of your program, if you're Purdue. Like, take the loss as bad as it was, but be professional, answer the questions, don't make excuses. But it was wild, because Zach Edey had one field goal attempt in the last like 7 minutes of the game. All he has to do is put his hands up. He's 7'4", 7'5". Like, that was ridiculous. And Purdue just seemed like they were playing not to lose rather than to win. Like, they were so flustered and they were so scared of losing that game that they pretty much just manifested that for themselves and turned the ball over, took bad shots. So just a really poor performance. But I think Painter's safe as of now. If he doesn't get far in the tournament next year, or at least to the second round, depending on where they're seated and what his talent level on the team is like, then I think you got to think about putting him on the hot seat.
Yeah, it's well said. I think you nailed it right there. They played not to lose instead of playing to win. And you could just see as that game kept going on down the stretch, those guards were terrified. Like, they didn't want to shoot. Nobody wanted to step
up
and take
the ball in their
hands. Exactly. And that pressure from FDU was just, it was wearing him down. That's a great stat about Edey only having that one shot attempt in the last 7 minutes. Crazy stuff. So Purdue goes down, third straight year that they have lost to a double digit seed. What about the other double digit seed that is still alive, the Princeton Tigers against Arizona? Kate, when we were previewing all the games in the first round, we had all said, and Tyler agreed, Princeton was underseeded. We thought they should have been more like a 13 or 14 seed. Now, I don't think we saw them upsetting Arizona, but what I will say, what I thought was impressive, is Princeton shot terribly against Arizona. Like, they only shot like 18% from three. They shot like in the high 30s from the field, and they were still able to win the game against one of the best teams in the country. And then they go up against a Missouri team who is atrocious on defense. You watch that game, Princeton did whatever they wanted on offense. Like, they had open looks the entire game. And I just look at this matchup now against Creighton, and we'll get into this next segment, but I think a lot of people are going to like Creighton, right? Just because they're a team that the metrics love. They're favored by 10.5. They just look great against Baylor. But Princeton, you know, I really think, and we obviously saw St. Peter's go to Elite Eight last year, but Princeton is a team that I think you have to just disregard the 15 next to their name. I think they're more like a 13 type seed. And that's going to be a good game against Creighton. I think they could give them a handful of a game.
Yeah, I certainly didn't think Princeton was getting past Mizzou, and maybe that's a little negligence on my end, not having watched a whole lot of Princeton basketball this year or really looked into who they are as a team, their identity. So I did not see that one coming. A very impressive performance. Blake Peters off the bench, he shot 5 of 8 from three. He was a kid, I didn't realize this until they were doing post-game interviews with him. He's from Illinois, and I covered him when he was in high school here, and he was one of the best three-point shooters in the state of Illinois in the state tournament. And so when I saw him, I was like, I recognize that kid. How do I know him? And it clicked when his stats showed up on the screen that he was 5 for 8 from three, you know, puts in 15 points off the bench, that kid can shoot. So they have some talent, not only in their starting lineup, but they have some talent coming off the bench. And clearly they were able to guard, you know, Arizona's bigs and on the perimeter in this Mizzou game. And so that's what they're going to see with Creighton, is the bigs and Kalkbrenner down low and then the perimeter guard play. So far what they've shown in the tournament is that they can handle those types of teams and defend them well.
They can. And, you know, one of the big reasons I bet Princeton on the money line against Missouri, I had said this when I was doing BetMGM Tonight last week, I saw an unbelievable stat in the last 20 years. teams that are 10th or better in offensive efficiency and 100th or worse in defensive efficiency have not made it to the Sweet 16 in the last 20 years. Missouri was one of those teams. So they obviously, here they are, they have Princeton. They have a great shot to make the Sweet 16. But I'm like, you know what? This stat is too good to ignore. I'm going to take a shot at Princeton. And there you go. Baylor was another one of those teams. They, of course, lost to Creighton yesterday. So that stat still lives on. It's a good one to remember for next year, because It's definitely interesting.
Yeah, I listened to you. BetQL cut that clip and they put it out on Twitter. And I listened to it like three times trying to remember what those teams were. And I was making a mental note because I wasn't by my computer to write all this stuff down. I'm like, I have to remember this going forward as I bet. I did not remember it. And so I did not bet those games. But you were dead on with that stat and how to approach those games using those numbers and that fact right there.
It's just, it's crazy. Teams that are so good on offense like that and just are awful on defense, they do not last long in the tournament. Creighton was my biggest bet yesterday, so I'm glad they were able to win. And then Princeton, able to upset Arizona and Missouri there into the Sweet 16. We're going to talk about Princeton next segment in their game against Creighton in Louisville. We're also going to talk about the number one overall seed, Alabama, against San Diego State. We're going to let you know if we think Bama is still the team to beat here heading into the Sweet 16. PJ Glasser, Kate Constable, filling in for Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet. We're just getting going here on a Monday. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.